Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be talking about a subject today that is affecting all of us. I don't care who you are, every day that you live, you're getting older. So why not skip all of the old stuffy stuff that's been associated with getting older, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s. Look at Jack LaLanne. He's 96 years young and he's still going strong. He's better than the Energizer Bunny. What is audacious aging? Well, my guest today, Stephanie Marone, is going to give us some insights with some individuals that she personally interviewed. And we're going to be getting some thoughts from different people, men and women both, that have an attitude about aging, which I think is absolutely fabulous. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Now, give us a little bit of your background. You're so involved with writing, and you decided you were going to put this together, and the time it takes to be able to reach people, because everybody's so busy in today's world. Tell us how you got involved with putting together this book on audacious aging. Writing is not something foreign to you, but what made you decide you were going to put all this time, effort, and energy into doing exactly this?
Well, it was really interesting. I've been writing for decades, and before this, I had 7 books published in the body, mind, spirit field. I wasn't really anticipating doing a book on aging, but what happened is the publisher of Elite Books came to me with this project and asked if I wanted to do it, and I, at the time, had just had several synchronous experiences that led me to say yes immediately. I had had my first aging dreams. How old am I? I'm 53 now, I was 52 at the time. And I had never had a dream where I was actually my age in the dream looking back at my younger me. And I woke up from these dreams and I said, that's an aging dream. How weird. And I was a person at the time who I would get the AARP invitations in the mail to join, which you start getting when you turn 50. And I would just throw them in the recycling, get them out of my hand as quickly as possible, like this was a very negative thing. And when I had the aging dreams, I really started thinking about it. And then I went to a Native American ceremony, and she said, okay, all the elders stay, this was the medicine woman leader. She said, okay, all the elders stand around the outside and the people who are not elders get in the middle. And I started asking the people around me, I said, well, what's an elder? What's an elder? And they said, a very simple, quick answer, we were all women. They said, if you haven't had your moon cycle for 18 months, you're an elder. So I counted it up and I said, oh, I guess I'm an elder. So I
that's an interesting way to judge it.
Isn't it funny? I think that was not truly the native definition, but this was a quick answer someone was giving me. I stood up as an elder for the first time, and it felt fabulous. And I looked around at these incredible women in this circle, and I said, this is where I belong. This is absolutely where I am and where I belong. So this book, Audacious Aging, it's an anthology, actually. I didn't interview the people. They each wrote their own chapter. But I got the people to do it, and it's a combination of celebrities and what we call new voices, because we don't want to just have the usual suspects writing for the public. We want to hear from some new people. So the viewpoints really radically changed my view of aging. So I now view what the baby boomers are going to do to aging, which was started by the people before us, of course, but because the baby boomers are such a large generation, we are going to, aging is never going to look the same once we get finished with it. And I don't mean by look only appearance. And in fact, that has very little to do with it. It's an attitude toward aging. And aging in this country is not going to be regarded in the same way once the baby boomers have gotten finished with the culture on this issue. And it's exciting. I was actually, it's so changed my view that I'm actually excited now about the periods of life that await me.
Well, I think everybody should be excited about it because there's been too much indoctrination that you're supposed to be a fuddy-duddy, your knees are supposed to creak, your head's supposed to not work, and you're supposed to be old by the time you were 60. And in our world today, people are hopefully taking better care of themselves, and I'm seeing a lot of people, men and women both, that are making a point of doing that and realizing that when they reach the big 50 or the 60 or the 70, they go, wait a minute, I've been watching these 19-something or other movies, and how come I don't look like that? Gee, I'm glad I don't look like that. Hey, forget about the age. I'm on my way. And I think that that kind of shift in attitude is very important. I love the quote that you have from, or in the chapter about Patch Adams. Patch Adams is one of my favorite people, but he quotes Zorba in Zorba the Greek. And this is what Zorba says in the movie. They say that age kills the fire inside of a man, and when he hears death coming, he opens the door and says, come in, give me rest. That's a bunch of lies. I've got enough life in me to devour the world, so I fight. Now that's Zorba. And that's how Patch Adams' attitude. I think he's just recently opened up his own hospital. He's traveled around the world. This is a man that has a passion for medicine, and I believe he's in his 60s. Am I correct?
I believe he's older than that. We could add up the date because everybody gave their birth date. 1945, so what's that?
He'd be about 65.
Yeah. And what was so, I loved what he had to say, which was that he said that audacious aging is redundant, that everybody alive is audacious, just simply, and everybody's aging, even when they're, 2 years old.
So, that's right.
Yeah, he was saying that just by living, we're being audacious. I loved that viewpoint. I wanted to add, though, that one of the things I discovered is that the mind and spirit components of aging are just as important, if not even more important, than the physical, how you approach your physical body in your aging. There's all these books, there are all these books out there about how to take care of yourself physically as you get older so that they're trying to beat aging. And I really wanted to write this book to approach it in a different way. Yes, it's very important to take care of your health, and that means on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. And the attitudinal part is so much more, that can affect your physical health. And I'm sure that you hear this among people you know. I started tuning into the things that people were saying, little comments about their own aging, that it's very negative. And these are just subliminal little affirmations of a very negative kind that they're doing all day long.
Mm-hmm. And that is so important, regardless. I mean, I've heard those kinds of statements from younger people.
Yeah.
You don't have to be 150 to hear this from someone. I'm hearing it from 20-year-olds. I'm hearing it from teenagers. I'm hearing it from people in their 30s and 40s and on up. So it is an individual point of responsibility. What are you going to do with your mind, with your attitudes, and how are you going to voice yourself through the world by your actions and your statements? And all of that does make a difference. Helen Gurley Brown, who I believe is 87 years of age, this woman has just been so involved. She's been a very, very public figure. She has been in charge of Cosmopolitan magazine since 1965. I believe she sort of relinquished the reins for a while, but she's such an involved woman. And at 87 years of age, one, she doesn't look 87, but two, whatever 87 is supposed to look like. But when you read what this woman has to say, she has really been a hard, hard worker and is one of the primary movers and shakers for women's rights.
She really is a pioneer for us. And her chapter is entitled Flower Smelling, Not For Me. that she was always so busy, as you say. She didn't want to take the time to smell the roses. She was just go, go, go. And she continues to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Then you have Robert Byrd. This is a gentleman. He became a U.S. Senator from West Virginia in 1959. How did you become acquainted with Robert Byrd? What made you approach him?
Well, he's been in the Senate longer than anybody historically. And so I was looking for people who have done something audacious, and just by his longevity and his service, his many, many decades of service, to me, that's audacious. So really, with each of these people, I was looking for what is the audacious nature of their lives? You know, what have they done that's audacious? And that was why I went for each of these people.
I really like one of his comments, and I'm going to quote a particular paragraph that is in the book. He says, "We cannot let others think for us, no matter their office or their media ubiquity. We must think as a people have the wisdom to think, and think well for ourselves. We have not lived under a tyrant, so we have only history to teach us what one looks like." And I think that this man, his attitudes are just absolutely phenomenal. Let's move on to Dawson Church, who is one of the people. And you just had so many individuals that participated in the putting together of this book. You have Deepak Chopra, you have Gene Cohen, you have Larry Dossey, you have just Andrew Weil, you have so many different people that... names that people will recognize. But Dawson is very much involved with DNA and the study of same. And in his material he presented, he said, he brings out an example of two sisters and how they had the identical genes. However, they had radically different results in their physical health paths, as he describes them. And he has developed the EFT power training.
Actually, I have to correct you. He's not the developer of that. He uses it. He's a practitioner of it, but it was developed by a man named Gary Craig.
Thank you for correcting me on that. I appreciate that. Yes, Gary is responsible for that. But Dawson is very much involved with it, and he has really carried that forward. But he has been involved in publishing and... his background, he was from South Africa. This man has quite a novel background, but yet he's so dedicated to DNA and teaching people how they can manipulate their DNA.
Well, he really is one of the proponents of energy medicine and energy psychology. And as a practitioner of EFT, which stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, and that some people call they just call it tapping, because you're tapping on the acupuncture points,
mm-hmm.
and it releases trauma from your energy field. It's a very interesting technique. I've used it myself. But Dawson, by the way, Dawson is the publisher of this book. He runs Elite Books, and his whole approach about energy medicine and energy psychology, he's doing a lot of research on what EFT, the kind of changes that EFT can produce in the body. And one of the things that is apparent is that the stress reaction that we all have when something, either a trauma or an upset or a physical accident comes into our lives, the stress reaction we have to it, the raising of the cortisol, he's actually done research to show that if you do EFT right at that moment, it lowers your cortisol. That's a very practical physical result that you can look at to see that EFT is having benefits for you on all levels. And then the DNA, I love that a number of scientists are looking into this as well. The new field called epigenetics, which is simply saying that what Dawson says in the name of his chapter, your DNA is not your destiny. We are not ruled by our genes. And Bruce Lipton, another scientist who's in this book, he has a book that's called The Biology of Belief, and he talks about how we program ourselves to age. So we've incorporated the societal view about aging, our cultural view, what we've grown up with, and we've internalized those viewpoints, and we program ourselves to age.
I think that's very, very true. Now, let's go to Hendrika Fitzpatrick. I thought that this was one of the best chapters in the book. Of course, health. She is the medical director of Integrated Health Medical Center in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and she is what one would call a pioneer in European biological medicine, which
yes,
is fairly new to this country. Am I correct?
Very new. One of the people who is responsible for bringing European biological medicine to this country is Dr. Thomas Rau, and she, in fact, studied with him. I was laughing when you mentioned her name because the title of her chapter is Move Over Barbie and Ken, and she's a delightful person. Reminds me a little of Patch Adams in bringing humor into medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I really like, and I'll quote this paragraph from the book. She said, since I'm a physician, I can best describe this ignorance in healthcare from the perspective that in our medical system, physicians learn physiology and then use the knowledge only to identify a symptom and give out a drug to suppress the symptom. Medical language is obscure and serves to protect the notion that symptoms are mysterious. Most of the illnesses that prevent audacity at the middle and the end of life have unknown etiology, which means that the doctors don't know why they happen. I just love that. I thought that was just outstanding.
Yeah, it really sums up the approach of biological medicine, because I went to Dr. Rau's clinic, which is in Switzerland, and it was really marvelous because it took the mystique out of medicine for me, because they have a very straightforward approach. Look at what they call the internal milieu of the body, what's happening on the cellular level, what's happening in the blood. And they have all these various tests to look at that, and it takes the mystery out of even such illnesses as cancer. They look at the toxicity in the body, and then they have methods to address each of the imbalances that's on that deeper level.
Mm-hmm. And she's just such a dynamic woman, and she had what some would describe as a near-death experience, where she went into surgery and her sister was leaving the visit, and she just decided to turn around, and she noticed that she was the color of death. That's the word. That's what she has written here. And she said her limbs had begun to curl into a very odd posture, which means that the brain is closing down and malfunctioning. And her sister turned on the CPR, and she said if her sister hadn't done that, she would have been dead because there was a morphine overdose that had been given to her.
And that alone changed her perspective about medicine.
Big time. Absolutely big time. So the chapter that she has written is just absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
and
I'm so glad you like it. I'll tell her.
Yes, please do. I thought it was one of the best in the book. I really,
oh,
really did. That was
I'll
my
tell her.
My
yeah.
bias. And then Lisa Schwetz Kumjian.
Kumjian, yeah.
Yes, Kumjian. And that sounds Armenian. Is it Armenian?
You know, I'm not sure. It does, doesn't it?
Yes, it sounds Armenian. And she's a doll. Her picture is just adorable. And she's a graphotherapist and a certified graphologist, which for those that may not understand that, it's handwriting analysis. And she has really been involved with that. And she has a very interesting chapter in this book on handwriting, which I thought was phenomenal. And she approaches it from the positioning, what is the person's energy of thought? Because you have to think while you're writing, or not think. Some people may not. And it all shows up. She's a fascinating lady. How did you come to know her?
Let's see. I have to reconstruct. Oh, she contacted me about working on a book for her, because I'm an editor as well. She's writing a book about this, and I'm very glad she is. Crown Books wanted to see a proposal on this, so she just submitted a proposal to them. We'll see what happens. But her chapter entitled Reading the Energy of Thought, it's really marvelous, because one of the things she's saying is that as with other nonverbal gestures or movements of your body, you communicate all kinds of things that you're not even aware of. And she's saying that you can read the body, mind, spirit state of the person in their handwriting. And so there are therapists that are using this to help unlock some of the doors that the mind has closed so that in the communication in the therapy. But she, so she had contacted me about editing her book, and I said, wow, why don't you write a chapter for this book? Because to me, this is, I hadn't heard of this. I didn't know. I know a lot of different medical fields, especially natural medicine, but I hadn't heard of this.
Well, I will touch on what you just mentioned, and that in Germany, that apparently, according to her studies, because she studied with a number of people that are very knowledgeable about graphotherapy, that they've used it for learning disabilities. And they've been able to get an insight into some psychological patternings with individuals, regardless of their age. And I do think that handwriting just brings so much out if someone is able to really see it. Now, there is a lovely woman in here, Nikki Giovanni.
Oh, yeah.
And she is a doll. She's been called the Princess of Black Poetry, and she's now listed as a national treasure and one of Oprah Winfrey's 25 living legends.
Uh-huh.
And she has the sweetest face. Her eyes are like the eyes of a child. They are just sparkling. This photo of her in this book is just, I think, a marvelous, marvelous statement about who she is. Whoever took the picture just caught it. And I love the first few words of the first paragraph. She says, I'm a big fan of aging. I just loved it. I just thought those words are just positive. And
yeah, yes.
She's just quite a gal. She really is. She's just wonderful.
And she has been writing poetry for also decades. She was part of the Harlem Renaissance. And I love that picture of her as well. Her eyes are also very huge and wise, childlike and wise. And she has managed to hold on through all these decades of life to this very fresh outlook, which she said, she asked me how old I was when I was talking to her, and I told her, and she said, oh, honey, wait till you get to your 60s. They're like a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
and the title of her chapter is Riding a Rainbow, and she just says that especially for women, the 60s are so liberating. That was such another refreshing viewpoint.
I like what she said, too. She said, we live by our imagination. We don't live by what we see. We in America try to dumb people down with the concept, if you can't see it, it can't be done. That doesn't make any sense. If you can't see it, that's the very reason to do it.
Yeah.
And I really think that she has captured something there. But she is a maverick of her gender as well as of her race and of her time. She's a standalone individual that says, I'm who I am, take it or leave it. And
yeah.
I just think her attitude is marvelous.
You absolutely captured her with that. That's a great description of her. That's exactly what she's like.
Now, you've got two men in here, Ken Dykewald and Daniel Kadlec. And I look at them, and they are really nice guys. They are men that have been on national programming. They have interesting lives, but their statement is, welcome to the power years.
Yeah, I included them because they wrote a book about the power years, and this was practical information to add to the attitudinal changes about aging, and that is that their viewpoint is that the way that aging is going to look from now on is that once the baby boomers pass out of what's conventionally seen as working age, the retirement age and beyond, the so-called retirement age and beyond, there's going to be a labor shortage in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that older people, people post-retire, the conventional retirement age, are going to be able to call their own shots. Because
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a labor shortage. I thought this was a very refreshing viewpoint.
Well, one of the people also that you have in here that I was just astonished to see was Lena Horne.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh,
she
yes.
has to be one of the most beautiful women that was in film. And as a black woman, she was just She was exquisite. She was just exquisite. And she's in her 90s, I believe, now.
And she can sing.
And she can sing. But she is still a beautiful woman. This woman...
She is 92.
Yeah. So here you have this woman who, at 92, doesn't look like somebody's run over with her truck, you know, and she really has taken very good care of herself, but she has this energy about life. Jack LaLanne doesn't even come close to Lena Horne in looks, but I mean, they both have that same dynamic about themselves. They're both in their 90s, and they both are still participating in life with an energy and an action of activity that most people would say, why don't you sit in a rocking chair? You're in your 90s, for heaven's sakes.
And
why?
I think that what she has to say, one of the points that she makes that so relates to that is that her advice for the young is realize that you will live several lifetimes in one life. And certainly she's done that. And she's also, another key for her is she's always looking for something new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another a great key to aging audaciously.
Well, she's in the entertainment industry, and she has so many different interests that she has made a point of having this dynamic energy that she possesses go out into different directions. She's not tried to categorize herself into a little compartment, and that is what I think is coming for the younger generation. They can have a multi-aspect of interests and diversity of activities that the older generations frequently were afraid to explore. You might meet a few, but in general, the attitude was keep it safe. And she's a depiction of, no, go for it. Keep yourself safe.
Well, and even more so in her case, because she was dealing with serious racial injustice.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
Even braver. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Stephanie, you have so many wonderful people in here. You even threw in a politician for good measure, George McGovern, and he's in his 80s. I mean, he's pushing those later years and is still very, very active. You have physicians in here. You have people of all ages, really.
Yes.
That I think it's just marvelous. It's dynamic reading. I think it brings in so many different factors of thought that this would be great for a reading group, for people to have discussions, for men and women both to engage in discussions, to realize that we're living in a time where your age is not going to disempower you. I think of my grandfather, who when he was in his 80s, he'd been disempowered by the society that had forced him to retire at the age of 55, and here he went on for 30 more years. And he would have been a vegetable if he hadn't been a do-it-yourselfer.
I really like your word, your use of the word empower, and how we've been disempowered in the past because of our age, or people have. I really like that view, and also that's a great idea about the book group. I have two friends who are reading it to each other, and that's expand that out and have a book group. That's really a great idea, and thank you for your kind compliments about the book. I appreciate it.
Well, I enjoyed it. And I think that anyone who wants to get a different perspective, regardless of your age, I don't care how old you are when you're listening to the show, when you have perspectives from people of different generations, and when you have people of maturing years, it gives you golden nuggets that you can sort of put in your own treasure chest. And whenever you need it, you can open it up and have access to it. And that's what the book Audacious Aging, edited by Stephanie Marone, is all about. One of these many, many people that want to share with you their wisdoms. Now, Stephanie has two websites. You can go to audaciousaging.com, audaciousaging.com. You can also go to stephaniemarone.com, and that's S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E. MAROHN.com, and you'll find out about Stephanie, too. So you've got two websites, and both of them are dynamic. Stephanie, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it, Donna.
I'm so glad. This is Donna Sebaugh. We are taking a break. Don't forget, websites, Audacious Aging, that's the name of the book, and Stephanie Marone. www.thebodymindspiritfield.com. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines, we have opened them. And now you're going to be able to call in and chat with me if you so desire. Here's the toll-free telephone number. It is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener and you'd like to call in and chat with me, all you need to know is I require from you when you call in, I'd like to know your first name or your initial, where you're calling from, and then just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So give me a buzz during this next half hour, 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number to call into. Now, one of the things I want to mention right now is that for those of you in the state of Washington, there is a marvelous event that's coming up on September the 26th, put on by the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club. This is an expo, and they usually hold it twice a year, once in the spring and then in the fall. This fall, the date for this event is Saturday, September the 26th. Now, this is being held at Kent Commons, which is 525 4th Avenue North, Kent, Washington, 98042. It's going to be from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening. And this is a wonderful event. They have so many different vendors, people that have got beautiful items to for sale. There's also going to be different psychic readers there. There are going to be healers there. They've just got a lot going on. And for those of you in Washington, it is absolutely a wonderful place. If you are wanting to explore different modalities, this event is a must attend. And it's free. You walk in. It is just absolutely wonderful. And it's being held again at Kent Commons. And you can go to their website. Their website is BEP like Paul, CEXPO at yahoo.com. I'll repeat that. B like boy, E, P like Paul, C like Charles, E, X, P like Paul, O at yahoo.com. Well, that's their email. And then they have bepcweb.org. I didn't say that correctly. I was giving you their email. You can contact them through email. And then their website is www.bepcweb.org, bepcweb.org. And you'll be able to get all the information, a map on how to get to the location. It is a wonderful facility, and we just have a great time when we're there. I'm going to be giving a talk, and also then I will be available for many readings while I'm there, and I'm going to have a slew of books that I'm going to be able to sell. Many authors are being represented, so you will have the opportunity to peruse through that if you're a book lover. So again, on September 26th, the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club Expo from 9 until 5. I hope to see you there. Stop by and say hello. This is just an absolutely wonderful event. And give me a call if you'd like to chat today, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Have you ever heard about beer being a food? Well, I did when I was quite young, because I remember being told that when my mother was pregnant with my brother, that she suffered a great deal from anemia. Her doctor at that time said you've got to have two things in your diet. One, you've got to eat more liver, and which is a yuck as far as I'm concerned, but at the time that's what was recommended by the physician. And two, drink beer. So my mother found that she could cultivate a taste for beer, which was not something that had been a part of her daily diet in any way, shape, or form. But more and more research is coming out about beer. Now, the ancients knew about the value of beer because for many people, when they made their own beer, it was a very good supplier of certain vitamins because of the process that was utilized. However, a study has been done recently of 2,471 men and postmenopausal women. They found that those who consumed 1 to 2 glasses of beer or wine daily had up to 8% denser bones than teetotalers. Aha! How come? Well, they say more research is needed to prove that moderate drinking is what's actually producing stronger skeletons, but they found, and they've known this for a long time, that beer is especially high in silicon. Now, this is a trace mineral that promotes bone formation. Catherine L. Tucker, a PhD of Tufts University, is one of the lead researchers, and she said wine is chock full of resveratrol, which is an antioxidant shown to protect against bone loss when they've done animal studies. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that you go and roll out the barrel and drink the whole barrel. That's not necessary. But it really is something that has been known by many, many cultures for a long time, that beer is a food. Now, the question I would have, what happens when they pasteurize it? The German culture has had this as part of their dietary program for a long, long time. And it's something that when, the processing was done in a certain way, it was nutritionally very beneficial for them. It really did serve a purpose. But if you have too much of it, you can get what they call the beer gut. So a little bit can go a long way. It's just like vino. All of these things have been around for centuries. And I always have to chuckle when they come up with this quote-unquote latest research. But I would also want to pose the question, it would be an interesting question to pose to a researcher. How is the nutritional balance of the pasteurization of beer when compared with that which isn't put through pasteurization? It would be interesting to find that out. So maybe some of you out there listening would have some answers for me. I'd love to hear from you if you do. But anyway, if you enjoy beer, just know, in moderation, when you have it, it's assisting bone density. Surprise, surprise. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Tomorrow, our guest is going to be Deanna Minnick. We're going to be talking about her very informative publication, The A to Z Food Guide. Now, what Deanna's going to be sharing with us is how to really read labels. If you have allergies, if you have sensitivities, this book, which is very compact and very well done, really can assist you in understanding why something may not work for you. Maybe certain foods that you find on the shelf, they might have a preservative in it, or something in the in a unique chemical combination, then you'll say, I don't understand why XYZ doesn't agree with me. We'll be able to find that out. Also, we've got a great line of guests that are going to be coming up next week. Now, on Monday, we're going to be talking about The Secret Life of Genius. This is wonderful. John Chambers is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about some of the most famous people in history, and we're going to be discovering how what they went through, also their spiritual beliefs impacted what they did. So this is going to be interesting, and then be prepared on Tuesday the 1st of September. We're going to be talking with Deanna Gunn about how to cook with all things Trader Joe's. This is going to be fun. Anytime we start talking about food and interacting about good recipes, it is a lot of fun. Then Giorgio Tsoukalos is going to be my guest on Wednesday of next week. We're going to be talking about History is Wrong. Now, this was written by Eric von Daniken, but Eric was not going to be available for the interview, so Giorgio is his right-hand person, and we're going to be discussing this fascinating book about history. It will be talking about UFOs. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that makes for the, what do I want to say here, the pursuit of further questioning. Yes, it's a good thing. And then on Thursday and Friday of next week, I'm going to be on the road traveling, so we will be playing shows that have been on air before. So on Thursday and Friday of next week, the shows will be pre-recorded, and I won't be able to take call-ins on those days. And then we'll be back, and I'm going to be having the listing of all of my guests for the next month. They're going to be going up shortly, and you'll be able to keep up to date with everything that is going to be forthcoming in the programming. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756 if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. You grow up the day you have your first real laugh at yourself. Ethel Barrymore, who was one of the finest actresses on the golden screen, she was a woman that had a candor about life that really came across in all the roles that she played. And I've enjoyed through the years being able to watch some of the old black and white movies that she acted in. She was part of a family legacy of actors, of which Drew Barrymore is a descendant, and she's carrying on the tradition quite nicely, I think. But those words are important, because if you can't laugh at yourself, then you're really not going to have a very good balance in your life. So when you really get the feeling that things aren't fair, just look in the mirror, laugh, and say, well, maybe the joke is on me. Put a smile on your face and move on, because it will make a difference if you do. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to come back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Kids are really something, and when moms have to deal with various issues and situations, it can be quite frustrating. And there was a mother in a store calling for a son, Jimmy, Jimmy, and this other lady turned a corner into another aisle and found a six-year-old little boy playing with some umbrellas. And she was curious, because she had a feeling that this kid might belong to the mother who was calling for him most earnestly. She asked him, are you Jimmy? And he said, yeah. Didn't you hear your mother call you? He said, yeah. Aren't you going to go to her? He said, no. She's not hysterical yet. Don't you just love logic of kids? Yes. That is often what they do. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, Jennifer England is a young lady who had a very special story. And she decided she was going to pick up her life and move on and do something that was going to make a difference. But she had to go through some experiences first before she could decide on what that was going to be. When she was 17 years old and heading into college, she felt very, very alone. She and her twin sister were, well, they had just gone into their teenage years when they were removed by Child Protective Services from a home life that had quite a few problems. So they took them out for their own protection, and for about 4 years, they were put in one foster home after the other. Not because they were bad kids, it was just because both of these sisters wanted to be together, and that was always a challenge. So they would support each other, saying, we're going to get through this. Somehow, we're going to get through it. Now, the sisters had to separate. They weren't able to stay together. Jennifer, who was an outstanding student, she graduated from high school a year early, and she knew that she had to go forward with it, that she couldn't stand down, and she decided she was going to Austin State University. When the application was submitted, she was accepted, and she said this was something she was so excited about, but she was quite young. Now, she realized she didn't have very much money in her pocket, and when she entered the dormitory at school, she really was quite scared. She was under 18. She was still in the foster care system, and she got a new case manager as she was going into college. And she was very insistent with the case manager, whose name was David, that she could handle everything that was going on, even though inside she was just terrified. But David was a very mature individual. He had been involved in social work for a lot of years, and he knew that Jennifer was bluffing. He said, I want you to know something. Only 10% of all foster children ever make it to college. And by your being at this college, you are showing me that you're determined to finish school. And I believe in you, and I believe that you're going to succeed. Now, because of being bounced around so much, meeting someone like David, who expressed faith in her and belief in her capability of achieving the goal she so earnestly desired, was not something she was accustomed to. And one of the first issues she had to deal with was trust. And she said thank you, but he continued. He wanted to know what the classes were like she was going into, how she was going to make some friends. And after a few weeks, he checked in on her again. She was doing beautifully. She was making A's in her classes. And when she got through her first semester, he checked on her, found she had gotten excellent grades. So he rewarded her. Now, this is a caseworker. This caseworker didn't have to do any of this. He said, I'm very proud of you, and you need to know you should feel good about yourself. Jennifer said, this man, David, who had no agenda other than wanting to be sure that she was okay. So this was very significant. And she realized that even though she didn't have the family around her that so many of her fellow students had, and there were activities involving family that she couldn't invite anybody to because there was no family to invite, and her sister wasn't going to be able to attend because she was still in high school. So this was the challenge that she was facing. Multiple challenges, actually. But you know what? David was a support for her throughout the entire time she was in college. And he kept checking on her, even after she was out of the system, because she was so exceptional, because she went forward. She didn't drop the dream. When she actually graduated from college, he attended the graduation ceremony and gave her a gift. And he said, I know that you're going to go forward from here because look at what you have done. Look at the journey you've traveled. You're well on your way to achieving every bit of the success that you want. Well, as it turned out, because of David's influence, because of what he did, and his consistency, she thought that she would like to become a youth specialist herself. Today, she's working on her master's degree. Her sister is going to be graduating from college fairly soon. And she said, I find myself following my mentor, David, his actions, his thoughtfulness, and his caring that he gave me as a gift. She said, I'm passing it on to the young people that I come in contact with because I want them to know that I care. She said, David believed in me, and that helped me to believe in myself. And now I'm paying that hope forward so that other foster kids can make their dreams come true too. Passing it on. When you give support, when you are there for someone, making them aware that they have value, and you pass it on, that makes such a difference. That is what makes the power of one so exceptional. And that is what makes you as an individual exceptional. David, probably if you talked with him today, would not think that it was anything unusual that he had done. But in the life of a young girl, 17 years of age, scared to death, entering a mature world, that she had no preparation for, that one person made a difference in her life. It made her think about her career and what she could do with her life that could make a difference in the lives of others. Jennifer is really an inspiration. And there are all kinds of inspirations around us if we're willing to look. Keep your eyes open. All of us are going to have moments when we're down and when we're afraid and we don't quite know what to do. But when you're in that positioning, don't be afraid to look around and maybe to ask questions. Open up. Be willing to say, I don't know. And be willing to accept the graciousness of someone else if they're willing to help you. It doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to be able to pay them back, but you can, like Jennifer does. Pass it along. When someone passes knowledge and wisdom to you, that's part of the responsibility, is to pass it on. This is Donna Sebo. Join me tomorrow, same time, same place. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous evening. Be back here tomorrow, right here on bbsradio.com, station 1. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.